the hell was that on the coming in hotline?
At least he didn't say sore for. I've been seeing a lot of that.
Who the hell was that?
That was Killmonger from what he describes as a warmer place.
Killmonger.
Well, the Killmonger would know.
Do you have another coming in hotline? All right, I'm gonna do this giveaway, then let's hear the next one. Hold on. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean. This is not Jason Aldean in the background, by the way. Jason Aldean, May 23rd, Blossom Music Center, part of the Minutemen Workforce Solutions Concert Series. End of the word town, T-O-W-N, town. By the end of this hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win, you can see Jason Aldean coming up May 23rd. All right, this is from Nick in Aurora. Kayla, hit it.
I said before the playoffs even started that I wasn't going to get excited because they had a lot to prove to me, and it seems like the only thing they can prove is they are the same soft Cavs that we've seen for the last couple of years, and this is never going to change with the current core four.
Meanwhile, Sham Sharanya, I beg your pardon, two-time NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo has not made a firm decision. But for the first time in his career, he is open-minded about whether his best fit is remaining in Milwaukee or playing somewhere else, a league source told ESPN. We are one game away from being off to the races. One game away.
Let's see.
And according to those coming in hotline calls, I think they're ready to go and start that race now.
Not for nothing, but... Not for nothing, but Jimmy Haslam does belong to the same club that Kobe Altman belongs to, so it wouldn't be difficult to initiate conversations.
Oh boy.
it's very, very, very simple to, you know, have a lunch, have a dinner. They have a sushi night over there that is to die for, I will tell you that. I mean, they could just start wheeling and dealing.
Have I been to this place?
Yes.
Oh, I have.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was that last summer?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice place.
Mm-hmm.
Nice place.
But I'm just saying, there wouldn't be any kind of barrier. Those guys could just be walking into the bathroom together, and boom, before you know it, Giannis is heading to Cleveland. It's amazing.
You guys got to get this win tomorrow night, man. You got to get this win. But meanwhile, an hour ago, I was the idiot because I was saying, you guys are going to call about traits. No. Way too talented. Way too young.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just putting it this way.
All right.
It's easy. I can wait.
Yeah, put Giannis out there. See what people say. Get throttled tomorrow night.
I can wait two shows. Just, I will have a lot of thoughts. Just give me two shows.
Can you wait two shows? This is breaking news. I think people want your opinion on this.
No. What I mean is,
if they lose like this tomorrow night, if they go out there and they get beat tomorrow night, if they look bad, well, no. Even if they look good doing
it, you've
lost in five games. Yeah, give them a call.
In terms of breaking up the core and... You know,
can you call it a core four if you can only get to the second round? 216-474-0092. I don't mean to be so nasty, but here we are.
You're not being nasty at all. After you're down 41 points at half.
The Fab Five went to a national title game. Other nicknames, the Big Three.
Yeah.
Won NBA Finals. The Four Horsemen won tag team titles and world championships. You can't have a nickname if you can't get past the second round. Yeah, the nickname right now is being the 2015 Atlanta Hawks. That's your nickname. Except somebody was quick to point out the Hawks at least made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2015. We're at DEFCON 1, folks.
Yeah.
DEFCON 2. DEFCON 1 would be actually trading
people. Honestly, I don't think you're being nasty at all. I think it's all fair. When I'm sitting there before yesterday's game, talking about how we're about to seize control of the series and plant the seed of doubt in the minds of the Pacers and shut up that crowd. And then they actually score 39 points in the first half.
Mm.
They were losing by more points than they scored.
Mm.
They gave up. There were 25 assists in that first half.
Mm.
That's a number I can't remember seeing. 25 assists for the other team. What'd you have, 22 turnovers? And
we will already get, I'm telling you, I think we already got one screenshot of a trade machine overnight. It will start in earnest, buddy.
Get ready for that. I'm just saying.
Trade machine.
I will wait.
The business is picking up.
I will wait two shows before we get to that. We only got
an hour you're going to do that? What if the callers dictate something different? What are you going to do?
Let them in.
Because the coming in hotline, that guy's already talking about the changes. I mean, the nickname's right there. Can't have a nickname if you ain't going to make it to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. 216-474-0092. More criticism about somebody else here in just a moment. Let me get to Jeremy in Cleveland. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jeremy from Fort Worth. I'm from Cleveland, but I'm in Fort Worth.
Okay, we're big in Fort Worth this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I have the answer. There's one answer that explains everything, including how Atkinson reacted. I think something happened in the locker room somewhere around the beginning of the game. The DeAndre Hunter thing didn't help. This looks like an implosion in the locker room. And Mitchell was sending a message to the bench. I think there was something on the bench that was brewing. It's why Kenny Atkinson, the only thing he could say was that, oh, Indiana just really upped their game tonight. No, they didn't. They did. The Cavs folded. And I think it's because something, there is a locker room. They're mentally weak. They're physically weak. I mean, that's what they look like right now. And so what happened?
What happened?
I have an idea. I'm not 100% sure, but what I think is we'll know this next game, because if it was a locker room, just a complete devolving in the locker room, maybe they cured something. Maybe they come out this next game and just go absolutely bananas, and this is a cool story. I don't know. If not, if this is just a complete implosion, then, yeah, we better start blowing this team up, because there'll be no reason to watch the regular season next year if they make no changes, if they implode. And we're not even able to talk about how awful they'll be against Boston.
Well, I don't know. Getting to Boston was like the end all be all goal. Like they had to do that before the season started. So if they get to Boston, I mean, at this point, gosh, if they get to Boston, then I'm going to say that they have a bunch of heart, and I'm going to say that they dug down deep and they were able to beat a team when they were down 3-1.
Same, but do you think so let's say they make it to Boston. Do you think they still need to make changes if they go to the finals and blow it?
I'd venture to say, Jeremy, and you're going to disagree with this, but I thank you very much for the call. I'd say no. Especially, I mean, Mitch was talking during the break with us about things. I mean, there's definitely going to be a change to come in Milwaukee. There seems to be, with the economics of things, going to be a change to come in Boston with that team. You would probably be a very good basketball team yet again. I mean, I'll look at it glass half full if you want me to. If they come back from a 3-1 deficit and were to beat the Indiana Pacers, I'd be as high as I've ever been on this team. Even if they went out and they got beaten 5 games against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd be as high as I've ever been. You guys would have to say, Ken, this is a team, though, they showed you they have a ceiling. If there's an opportunity to go out and get a guy, which obviously I'd listen to, if you go out and get a guy, then you go out and get the guy. But I would feel so much better about this team. I mean, you guys are calling them gutless. They're being called gutless. And no city wants to have a team that has a gutless team. And it doesn't matter if you're Cleveland, Ohio, or Detroit, Michigan, or any other Midwestern city that doesn't have good weather, so we focus on how tough we are. You could be a team. They could put a team in the Bahamas, and the Bahamas, the people in the Bahamas, do not want a soft, gutless team in no matter what sport they play in.
Yeah, but how do we register this, that Darius Garland gets ripped, like nationally, universally ripped, by some of the highest paid talking heads in sports,
yeah,
gets ripped for not playing. Then he plays, and then still getting ripped for not being tough enough. It's like, all right, well, then is Darius just in a no-win at this point?
I think Darius is trying to be as tough as he possibly can be. He's just not a big person.
Now,
he is physically slight compared to other players.
And he said Friday,
there's very little he can do about that.
After the Game 3 win, he did say Friday that nobody knows what he's going through. So he tried to play through it. He did not play well in Game 3, but he was out there, and it seemed like it did add a lift because they finally had a ball handler again, and then they won. They destroyed the Pacers in Game 3. To come back, it's almost like, were they overconfident?
How do you get overconfident?
You're down in the series, and now you're up against them.
I don't believe
that. What was it? Is it that they really didn't deal with adversity this year because they didn't have to, because they were so dominant?
You were all together last year. How do you not? You were all together the year before that. We've been calling them the core four for the last 2 seasons, now 3 seasons. You had an embarrassment against the New York Knicks. You had a tough series that probably shouldn't have went 7 games, but you had that before. What do you mean? How could they forget him? How could they all of a sudden turn it off and forget the adversity that they faced before? I mean, we're going to have to call it what it is. If they go out there and they get stoned out tomorrow night, then yeah, you know what? They're going to be called soft, and they've earned that reputation. Getting beat by 41 in a playoff game down 2-1 on the road. You won 64 games? Well, this team and that team's just kryptonite. I mean, I know the regular season means less than it's ever meant before, but good God almighty. We're just waiting around on Indiana to beat us the whole season. No, that can't be the way. Sean in Houston, you're next up on the Fan.
I I'm almost at a loss for words, but just if you watch this, you watch last year in New York, the big thing is we have this great game. We have this great game where we give it our all, and then we just get swamped because we got nothing left. Like, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of getting pushed around. I'm tired of, like, our bad guy, our dude, can't be Strauss. It can't be.
Yeah, Max Strus has become their enforcer.
Like he's our dude. They got three of them on the Pacers that are just punking them. I love Mitchell. Mitchell's given everything he's got, but my dude can't put up 100 shots every freaking game. What did he put up, like almost 40, 50 shots? Like the last, I mean, you can't do that. You're going to get tired. And these aren't Steph Curry shots. These aren't Kevin Durant shots. These are Ja Morant. These are Derrick Rose getting the hell beaten out of him every single time. And every single time he's on the ground, they got three dudes on the Pacers. It happened last year. Get a guy on the wing. Get your enforcer that is 6'4", that weighs 220. I don't even care if he's tall. But somebody that at least pretends that he can put up, what, 150 on a bench?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Jared Allen. I love Evan Mobley for what he is. A fly-in. He can come get his offensive. He can play help defense. Defensive player of the year. He's amazing. But you can't have two skinny rail boys. You can't have wing guys that are 6'4", that weigh 190 pounds, going up against grown men. It's not going to work. I don't care about length. I don't even care about height. I want a dude that can go in there and play 15, 20 minutes a game minimum and freaking bang around and not look like they have to go take an ice bath after. The Pacers, I'm telling you right now, you watched after the game, did any of them look tired? Any of them?
No.
Not one of them looked tired.
I mean, hell, you can walk around the second half. I mean, they gave up, they cut the lead by 20 points. Yeah, but when you're up by 41, Sean, I mean, when you're up by 41, it's hard to be gassed. I mean, they gave up 20 of the 40-point lead. They were still up by 20. They could walk around.
We looked last game, we were up by 30. We looked gassed last game.
So why do you think that is?
We were up by 30. Because they're coming up and they're just putting guys on us. We shot, what, 30% from three from the game we won? We didn't even out-percentage them on field goal and three-point shooted. We had to keep on driving, free throws, driving, free throws. You can do that if you're Tatum, Brown, yes, they shoot a lot of threes, but when they have to get to the rim, they get to the rim in the fourth quarter. Our guys can't get to the rim in the fourth quarter. We're beat down. We look exhausted by it because we have to score inside, and we're undersized.
Sean?
Guys, frustrated.
I got you, and thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. Lyman's burning the midnight oil. He's got himself a Red Bull.
First time I have gone to the Red Bull in years. I think it's like Las Vegas the last time, and I gotta say, it doesn't taste right without the vodka.
I've never seen you drink a Red Bull. This is weird.
Hey, unpaid testimonial. Worked.
Sugar-free Red Bull for you.
Had a little surge. I did go healthy, Ken, of course.
You got to go sugar-free.
What's in this again? Oh, that's it. Oh, we'll just grin.
Okay, your RFK all of a sudden?
We'll grin and bear it.
What are you doing?
What's with this red dye?
Oh, God, here we go. I remember when I worked at the Stone Plant before coffee, my manager at the Stone Plant, the foreman, made us drink black coffee.
Made you?
He threw the creamer and the sugar out into the road. It like exploded out of the road. Oh, yeah, he didn't care. He's like, you'll drink it black. All right, relax. He would get so mad. I used to go get, way back in the day, couldn't do this now because I'm not in the type of shape to drink this. I would get like the two of the rock stars, the full-bodied ones, and you'd go to the bathroom and be neon. It looked like a high vis shirt.
How's your kidney processing?
It really did. I was like, oh boy, this is something.
I see what you guys are doing.
We used to do it. It's delicious too. I gotta tell you,
Mitch has 8 clips about Giannis.
Oh,
I mean, we still are in the playoffs,
here we
right?
Go. Yeah, play it. Play the Sham Sharanya.
Sources tell me that Giannis Antetokounmpo, for the first time in his career, is open-minded about exploring whether his best fit moving forward is outside of Milwaukee. So whether he's going to remain as a Milwaukee Buck or move on, potentially, he's going to explore that, spend time exploring that, considering those options. All eyes here in Chicago are on Giannis Antetokounmpo and his future and what it means for potential contenders, teams trying to take that next step.
I can yell, audio courtesy ESPN, I can yell at the fans and say that you're giving up on them, but they've given up on themselves. If this was a tooth and nail fist fight and we weren't that good, if we weren't supposed to be so much better than the Indiana Pacers, I'd say that you folks are crazy. But they're already protecting their feelings. So I think for a lot of people, they're just accepting that, hey, this is over. They're going to lose because they're laying down in this series now. So if they're going to lose, we're going to try to find a way to make this thing better. Dan Gilbert is an owner that is obsessed with winning, which is great. Do they have the wherewithal to go after a team that's not, that is probably breaking it up, that a player doesn't want to be there anymore? What can we do? And it ain't just going to happen with Giannis. I brought up those other names too, including you-know-who. That's definitely going to be brought up. They have already moved on. So am I supposed to yell at the fans for wanting to mentally move on and emotionally move on from this, or should I yell at the team which got themselves down 41 at halftime yesterday? And then we're having a great big discussion on whether or not Donovan Mitchell was faking an injury, acting on an injury at halftime of a game, which, God, I hope not. What's worse? I think it's far worse to be down 41 in a pivotal game to make this a 2-2 series coming back. It's far worse to be down.
And obviously it's going to, it would probably go down as too little too late anyway, and people won't care. But I mean, tomorrow night you're at home. You've been a dominant team at home all season. You were dominant all regular season. You were a wire to wire number one seed in the East. Boston was scared. You know what? Of Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs. Mm-hmm. I talked to people in Boston all year. They cannot believe that the Pacers are up 3-1. I'm just telling you, tomorrow night, there better not be any talk after the game of not having heart, not being tough, soft, the comparisons to the Hawks in 2015. There better not be any of that tomorrow. Like, fine, lose the series, whatever. It can't be tomorrow, and it can't be the team totally giving up. That cannot be. Because there's no way to make sense of this. You could say, okay, well, they're soft. There have been soft teams. Remember, the Warriors were called soft.
Yeah.
Even after they won their championship, their fraudulent 2015 title, because of the Kyrie and Kevin Love injuries, people were still calling the Warriors soft. They lose. They were down by 41 points, scoring 39 at the half at any point in their playoff run. Come on. What the hell was that yesterday?
216-474-0092. Before I get to these phones here, how much needs to go on on Kenny Atkinson?
Well, I will say this. Like, I thought Kenny Atkinson made an unbelievable coaching move, a diabolical coaching move when he went to the 3-2 zone in game three. It totally took the Bucks by surprise, and that game was won.
Pacers.
The Pacers. That game was won when they decided to go to that 3-2 zone. That was it. But Rick Carlisle's a championship coach. You knew they'd have an answer. They did have an answer. They just came up, set a ball screen, like four straight possessions, and that was it. It dissected the 3-2 zone. You can put it up on a tombstone. The Cavs 3-2 zone with Mobley at the top in the middle from game three to game four, because it died. RIP. That was the end of that. But that's what happens in a playoff series. Where is your counter move? Okay, where is your adjustment to that? It can't be that, you know, Kenny Atkinson, there's only so much, like, coaching-wise, I would have liked to see more Jared Allen, but would it have made that much of a difference and again, you're down 45 at one point. Like, it's not one maneuver. It's not one thing. Now, were they not just flat out not ready to play? I just don't know. I don't understand how you need a coach to get you ready to play in a playoff game, mm-hmm, with your season on the line. Like, I don't understand that. Maybe you can explain that one to me.
I wish I could tell you. I can't.
We do. We look for simple things to grasp, and every season's demise in sports has a reason, right? There's always a reason. What do we say about 2016 blowing the 3-1 lead? What do we say? Rain delay. Like, we try to make it as easy as possible. 1995.
Didn't seem to rob our momentum, though.
Or 97. Jose Mesa. Right? We just try to,
yeah.
95, we just say strike zone. Like, we do try to simplify these things in one phrase. Well, what is it going to be with this team? Is it going to be soft?
I think it's going to be soft.
That's all it is?
I think it's going to be soft.
For some, it'll be injuries. I'm seeing some of the homers. It's injuries.
You do need that. You need some people to think that. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, there has to be another side to this, and it's made it tremendously. It frustrates you, but also at the same time, it makes this tremendously difficult. It makes this so much harder emotionally. I just can't believe we're here. I really cannot believe we're here. And so anybody who's attached to them at all, they're going to be somewhere in the crosshairs for fans, somewhere there. And the head coach of the basketball team, you know, I can't sit there and give you a bunch of reasons why I think that he's messing things up. I don't think he is. I think you got to be, I don't know if it's tougher. I don't know if it's a mental block. I don't know what it is with these guys. I can't make Darius Garland go out there and put on 30 pounds of muscle. I can't do it. I wish I had one reason other than, yeah, I think a lot of people call them soft. They're a slight basketball team. We've been tremendously patient. Tremendously patient. But this will be, if this goes down tomorrow night, or even if it goes down in game six, I want it to get, you know, again, if you give me a game seven, then I can fight against some of these trade things that go on there. You lose tomorrow night in some terrible fashion, it's all hands on deck. Every fan's going to have an opinion to get rid of these guys, and I'm not going to be able to fight it. 216-474-0092. I mean, the vibes can only be immaculate for so long. Because you've come up short each of these last 2 years, and now if it's going to be three, you don't give nicknames to teams that just go to the middle of the playoffs.
This just seems more inexplicable than any run that got cut short that I can remember. I mean, maybe I guess the LeBron losing to Boston, but the writing was on the wall that he was out.
Yeah,
that he was ready. He had mentally checked out, right? So then you can explain it later. What is the explanation here? We dominate. We were a dominant team. Everybody was scared of the Cavs this year. The number one team and a team that's going to probably be in the finals again, the Boston Celtics. They were. I'm telling you, talk to people in Boston. They were scared of the Cavs this year. How does this happen? I can't remember. You know what? We were too young, but the drive and the fumble, those Browns teams were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. So they got cut short, but it took heroics. There are no heroics here. I know Halliburton hit a game winner. Okay, but that shouldn't have been the series. That shouldn't be the end. What is the reason here?
216-474-0092. Brandon in Parma Heights. You're next up on the fan. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay, Brandon. Go right on ahead.
I've been going through my head seeing what's went wrong with the Cavs, but when are we going to admit that the Pacers are just a good team? They're faster than the Cavs right now. They're more physical than the Cavs, and they have a great coach. To me, if the Pacers get past the Cavs, I'm picking them to go to the finals.
Well, I'm not saying the Pacers. No, Brandon, one's saying the Pacers are garbage. I don't believe the Pacers are garbage.
Brandon,
but I mean,
I agree with you. You led the call saying, when are we going to admit they were a good team? I admit they're a good team. Notice what I'm not saying. I'm not saying they're a great team. I don't think they're great at all.
Does anybody really think they're better than us?
Like Halliburton, is he even a top 20 player? Yeah, is he a top 15 player in the NBA? I don't know.
I mean, to me watching them, though, Halliburton doesn't have to be, because like, look at the role players. I mean, yesterday they were hitting three. Siakam looks like a superstar. I think that the Cavs are being out-coached. They're being out-physical. And to me, right now, the Pacers look like a better team than the Cavs. We can go back to regular season. Everybody was afraid of the Cavs. For example, I'm a medical device sales rep. My cohort in Indiana, they weren't afraid of the Cavs. He texted me when Indiana won and said they're beating the Cavs because they are on fire right now. I wouldn't say the Bucks are a soft team, and they did the same exact thing to the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are a lot worse than we are, but I think the Pacers are a substantially better team than what people give them credit for. Look at last year. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Brandon,
so people are surprised that they're dominant right now. They're faster than the Cavs.
They are better. And Brandon, first off, congratulations on all your success. I didn't know you were a medical device salesman. You do very well for yourself. I'm not willing to say, and thank you very much for the call. I'm not saying
better get that lunch order right for the hospital.
They're a really good team. They're not better than the Cavs. I think that we didn't think very much of them. I think last year, I think a lot of people were thinking that was a fluke run to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're a better team than what I think we've given them credit for. I'll go that far. I will go that far. They did not start off the season hot. They had injuries. I think a lot of people kind of forgot about the Pacers. It's easy to forget about the Pacers. It's easy. They play in Indianapolis. It's easy to forget about the Pacers. And you know, I'm sure that if they heard this, they'd be really mad at me. But you guys know it's the truth. Like, they're the star power. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's a good player, but Lord Almighty, we're focused on Boston. We're focused on maybe even the Knicks. This, it's hard to get our bearings here on this because this is not good. Joe in Akron, hello.
Hello. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I agree with what you guys are saying. Indiana is a good team. They're not the better team. They're not the best team. They've had two games where they have shot way above their average. And that's tough to stop. It's players feed off each other. I also think Kenny Atkinson has to look at T.T.'s a very physical player. I know he's not the best player. He's up in age. But you want somebody that's going to go in there and bang bodies? That's the guy. Put him in the game. Don't have to put him in at crunch time. Put him in early. Give Jared Allen a rest. Give Evan Mobley a rest at the same time. Let T.T. know, hey, you got six fouls. Use them. Those guys won't be taking those little jump shots in the lane.
Somebody else told me this. This is incredible. Somebody else had told me this, Joe. Thank you very much for the call. They wanted him. They wanted Tristan Thompson to go in there and use all six fouls like right at the very beginning of the game the other night. That has been brought up before. Let me get to Chuck in Cleveland real quick. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
Chuck, doing well. Go ahead.
So, look, I think we're using the wrong word. You know, these guys not soft. They tough. They just not tough enough. We need some dogs, you know. We got a finesse team, similar to Golden State. So when we go against teams that play aggressively, on top of that, with the playoff rules, I mean, I think it come down to coaching, you know. Axon got to say, hey, y'all got to go in there and be some dogs like these other teams. Because when we play like dogs, we tend to destroy teams. So I just think it's something about the morale.
Yeah,
and the
adjustments. Okay, I felt like we have seen that from Max Strus throughout. I think we've seen it from Donovan Mitchell. I mean, that guy left it all on the floor. Game two, do you guys remember? Like, he was basically carried off the floor in game two. And I know he only played 34 minutes, but it seemed like 44 minutes. DeAndre Hunter yesterday, I mean, okay, like, they tried to get under his skin. It kind of worked, but he absolutely delivered, like, but came right back at him, which is what fans wanted to see, right? Were you guys not all going nuts? So who else do you have? I mean, Okoro is not really mean. He can be physical, but he's not a mean guy. He seems like a nice guy. Jared Allen's considered, obviously, we know. Evan Mobley's not there. He's not a brute physical force yet. He's been getting more physical and more physical every year as his body has developed and matured, but he's not there yet. So, but you're not, what, you're going to get rid of Evan Mobley because of that? No. I mean, he's a huge fixture on your team.
Welcome to it. Hello. I'm defensive over Mason Graham this morning.
That's why he should be.
He threw up at camp, so what? He threw up. Guys throw up.
Clearly, football's not for him. Like, what was that?
Hack! People lose their minds over people on the internet you never even heard of. What are we talking about here? I mean, what's the issue? What the hell is the issue here? 216-474-0092. You never threw up during sports? Did you throw up during sports?
Yes, absolutely. And I remember it was eighth grade track.
Ooh.
Eighth grade came out that first week.
Eighth grade.
Was a meat grinder.
Did you run it during the rest of the...
No, I stopped to start working.
Oh.
But I did. I went through the hell week and puked on the first day. It was hell week.
There you go.
You're supposed to puke. Yeah, right. Why aren't they all puking? Shouldn't they all be puking? Like, people think they're in football shape on the first day. Nobody's in football shape when you first get there, right?
No.
Isn't that the whole point? Same thing as training camp. Training camp, the whole thing is getting people into shape. Now, they don't do the two-a-days like they used to.
Some do, some don't. Some do, some don't. It's kind of like a modified two-a-day, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But they find ways to get around it. 216-474-0090. You're talking about NFL? Sorry. NFL, yeah, they have very strict rules. I'm sorry. I thought you meant football in general. I beg your pardon. The NFL, no. But in general, some have like kind of a workaround type of deal. It's a little bit of a gray area there when it comes to some places. But we'll talk about that another time. Yeah, I felt kind of defensive over Mason Graham and some of the stuff that was being volleyed in his direction, which I thought was patently ridiculous. All right, back to the Cavs. Here we go. Josh and Berea. Hello. Josh.
You hear me? You hear me?
What? You got to get on there. What?
All right, sorry. I had a connection issue.
All right, here we go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, Cavs in seven, baby. Flip the switch. We got nothing left. I mean, we just lost by 40, 20, if you want to be exact. Come on, flip the switch. We're going to talk about trade talk.
You're not going to call for flipping the switch. You can't just call it flipping the switch. I'm not flipping the switch.
He's chanting.
No.
Flip it. You want to flip it. Come on, Ken.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen Kenny further away from flipping a switch.
No. Oh, she doesn't know what this means.
Well, then you're going to have to hold it down.
I didn't hear the rest of the call. I don't know what he wanted.
We're not flipping the switch. You lose the game by 20. You're down by 41 at half.
When you're down by 41 at the half, there's no...
I got injury gate and whether or not that was real or not. God. No, there's no switches being flipped. You don't deserve the switch to be flipped. Not today. You might be able to talk me into it tomorrow. But I would imagine no. Gio in Cleveland. Yellow.
Hey, first of all, we couldn't flip that switch because the meter's been pulled, blanked off, and there's no power to it. So even if you wanted to pull the switch, nothing's going to happen. This is just a fair weather fan. This is what makes it hard to watch the NBA. These guys pretty much motorboated through the season, motorboated through Miami, and then once again, Cleveland basketball team. We're talking about getting muffed up. I mean, these guys are getting mugged. Let's be honest with you. It's playoff basketball. They are absolutely getting mugged. And no one is doing anything. And I believe it was Lima that called Max Strus our enforcer. And I literally spit my coffee out because I'm like, you cannot wear a headband like that in Cleveland and be called an enforcer. Next thing you know, he's going to be buying a house in Ohio City and a Tesla. We just can't.
No, wait, no.
I'm just saing.
What's his craft beer of choice?
Yeah, what's his, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Does he take his dog to the brewery?
Right, brew dog. Let's go, man. You know, maybe he has the poop bag. I don't know. Maybe he has like a little collection bag for him. I'm not sure. You can't be an enforcer and act that way. We need some guys with maybe a little bit of questionable character. Like who do we hate in Cleveland the most? Who's the guy that we can't stand from the Golden State Warriors? This guy's kicking guys in the crotch. He's doing stuff that we just don't. Listen, I love Jared Allen, but I don't read my cast poetry in my spare time. I'm just saying. If that's what your personality is, you're not going to get down there and rough people up. He's an amazing basketball player. But somebody called earlier, and you guys made fun of him for suggesting we put Tristan Thompson in.
Wait a minute. Well, yeah, Tristan Thompson getting foul, like getting rebounds and stuff. Tristan Thompson's old as the hills.
Ken Carman, you were the sixth man at Perry High School on the basketball team. When your coach needed five fouls, Carman was coming in the game to rough some boys up. No. You put your shorts on one leg at a time. Well, you get in there, and you know you rough some guys up. That's what your role was.
I never played basketball for Perry High School. I'll tell you this, and Gio, thank you for the call. I would now, if I were asked to be the enforcer on that basketball team in high school basketball, which I don't necessarily condone such a thing, but if I had to, I would have. My generation had no problems getting in fights at school.
I still would love. Can we put up a poll question, Mitch, on can you be an enforcer if you wear a headband?
He's going to do that.
He should. I would like to know the answer to that.
Mike and Stowe.
Because he's been our enforcer.
Good morning, guys. It's psychological. We're just getting beat in the brain. They are smarter than us. They understand how to get under our skin. They're doing it. Just got to be smarter than the other guy. It's not about just cutting his legs out. You just got to get in his head. And if you're not on that kind of mission when you're trying to be accomplish something, you're going to lose. And puking's okay. I puked once after I finished a triathlon. And you know what? I broke my record from the year before. I puked. I was happy as heck. Sometimes it just happens. Doesn't mean a damn thing about the football player.
It's called puke and rally.
It's just more of that Cleveland stuff, guys. Everybody's just trying to jump on something little. We're easy to pick on, and it's easy to do. But, you know, man, I hope that team responds tomorrow night. They just go out there and punch them in the mouth.
They
please,
better.
Please.
Well, thank you for the call. It's already
did,
up.
They did two-hand shove them in the chest.
The poll is already up.
Oh,
can
good.
You be an enforcer and wear a headband?
It's a fair question.
Big thanks to everybody who joined us today. I'm trying to think of a tough guy who wore a headband. I really can't. No, Ben Wallace wore a headband. Ben Wallace wore a headband.
I literally just tweeted that at the poll.
Yep.
I like that.
Ben
That's
Wallace
right.
wore a headband. That's right. Did you really, Mitch? That's crazy.
Yep.
He was absolutely an enforcer.
Did Rasheed Wallace wear a headband
too? He did.
Too?
Yes.
Yeah. Rasheed was a hard ass. Ben Wallace was a hard ass. Guys named Wallace are hard asses. Rusty Wallace, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace.
Mike Wallace, 60 Minutes.